Jankovic with a reverse ball, looking for Kerr, and Kerr's in here. It's Sam Kerr. This could finish it, and Kerr off the post, and of course she's finishing it off. Sam Kerr makes it 3 for Chelsea and 4 league titles in a row.
Welcome to another episode of Fran Kirby's Fight Club. I am Andre Carlisle, and I am here with Mariam. Mariam, I know you haven't been feeling well. I've been getting over a little something myself, so our voices might not sound as normal as you would expect. But Mariam, how are you?
I am in mourning. My immune system is in mourning with the Sam Kerr news. We're all down. You guys can't see me, but I'm wearing sunglasses because just the harshness of real life and the fact that we're going to be without her for the next, well, for the rest of the season is really putting a spell on me. So as you say, we're going to try and push through, but not great.
Yeah, we almost did an emergency pod, but then news kept happening. You know, Sam Kerr tears her ACL, but then we make a new signing, but now there's Fran Kirby contract news making the rounds. And it was like, all right, at some point, we just need to talk about all of it. So that's what we're going to do. And I guess we should just go ahead and start off top. Sam Kerr, ACL rupture is what the Matildas account noted during the Morocco warm weather camp. Not great. Pretty much the last player we could afford to lose long term, or I mean, for the rest of the season. There's weird talk from an outlet in Australia about her coming back for penalty kick shootouts in the Olympics. And I was like, first of all, no, don't rush her back. Second of all, she ain't good at penalties anyway. So like, maybe y'all just need to let her heal.
Also, like the ACL, that's the knee. When you kick a ball, the knee is extended. So
these are all true things.
You know, the reason why, I mean, not the main reason, but largely a big part of the reason is that she was injured during the World Cup, and she was, I won't say she was rushed because we know Sam Kerr, she wanted to be there. She might have fast-tracked her recovery as you do in global international tournaments, and perhaps the recovery wasn't the same as if it was during the season. And because we'd signed the official, we didn't necessarily need her to be in there straight away. She didn't start for a good chunk of the season. And now there's an injury, which we've never had with her before. She's just one of those players that are really impervious. You could probably think of a handful of players on the men's side where it's just like, this person never gets injured, right? And when they do, it's a real shock to the system. And I think that's what's happened here. So it's so strange to see, like, some of the first news to come out of this is, when will she be back? But also, let's try and get her fit again as quickly as we can. But that's the dangerous thing. So that's just strange to me, as you say. But also, it's just a sort of a gut punch to think that we're not going to have it for the rest of the season. For somebody who's been such a stalwart, who, you know, plays so many minutes, flies all over the world, suddenly gone. I couldn't think of worse news. And I'd like to add, by the way, I was out all day. I came back to a bunch of messages in my DMs and freaking out. I think you messaged me to say we need to do an emergency pod, and I'm like, what has happened? And then I went on the timeline, and it was the worst possible news to have, the first thing to see on my phone after a whole day of just being out and about. So received it in the worst way, still feeling the side effects from it. And I think we need to have an appropriate conversation about when we might see her back.
Yeah, not even when we might see her back, but what are we going to do? You know, yeah. I think that's been the big thing. And I know it seems like, you know, you had the initial head loss of everybody be like, oh my God, panic, like Sam Kerr's done for the year. We're not going to have her. This is Emma Hayes's last year. We're trying to push for a Champions League because this is the last time, this is Emma's last season with Chelsea. Like, all of the like doomsday scenario, like, is the one thing you really couldn't have happen. You already have Millie Bright, who's been in and out of the lineup and more out of the lineup recently and expected to come back. Katarina Macario expected to come back. So you have these things lingering, but the one thing you didn't want was more injury news, and particularly to that player, and particularly this type of injury, which means there's no chance of her being back this season, which really, really hurts. It's also, for me, on a personal level, I'm just really sad for Sam Kerr. You know, that whole build up to the Australia-New Zealand World Cup, and then when it kicks off, she gets a calf injury in training, and she's not able to play. She finally gets on the pitch. She scores that outrageous goal against England that basically like exploded the entire continent, which was absolutely amazing. It was incredible. One of the most fun moments in women's soccer in like years. That was like a landmark moment. I love that. She takes some time, you know, getting herself back to Chelsea. We don't really rush her. We have Mia Fischel. You know, we play other players. Aggie Beaver-Jones has played number 9 before. And you're like, okay, once we get her, you know, built up and back and she's like full on Sam Kerr, it's going to be peaking like at the right time. It's going to have her fresh for a very important part of the season, especially given the aims and especially given what Chelsea need to do in the last season of Emma Hayes' tenure. And then this happens, and it's just so brutal.
Yeah, and I think that's why like, we weren't ready for it either. I think if it was like an any other injury where it's a couple of weeks out, you might think that makes sense because kind of it's been a stop-start season for her. But such a big injury during a training camp, first of all, it's suspicious, right? You think what might have happened to cause that injury. But also, we now have to think of what we're going to do with the rest of the squad because, as you say, Mia Fischel has been great, but she's really used as someone who plays off the main striker. She's worked amazingly with Sam Kerr and with other players. So what might it mean if she's playing up front? Perhaps we're playing with two number 10s now. We've seen, again, teams in the Premier League, Brighton especially, they play with two false nines, and it can work for you if it's a system that you're familiar with. So we just have to kind of sit here and think, how is Emma going to change things up for someone who has kind of had her starting 11 picked for so many years to a point where we previously talked about maybe she's not experimented enough. Now we're at a point where we've got to experiment. We don't really have a choice unless there are more signings to come in this window, aside from the one we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the interesting thing for me is just hearing the reaction and seeing like, you know, trying to figure out what we do from here. You know, how does the team respond? Obviously, in attack, you play a certain way because you funnel the ball to Sam Kerr as much as possible because you give her opportunity. She's going to score a ton of goals. We've seen that on pretty much just about, well, maybe I shouldn't say that because my geography isn't all that great, but many continents. I was going to say half of them, but I was like, ain't there 7? Whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, so she's done it in Europe. She's done it in Australia. She's done it here in North America. Like, it's just what she does. And it's something that is, I mean, think about like the final day heroics to win the leagues. You know, she's the one who comes up with big goals. You know, we obviously had others score big goals. You know, Guro scores a big goal as well. There are plenty others. But like when you need somebody to step up, which was always funny to me, and the rap that Sam Kerr detractors, if they are still out there, will say, is that she's not really a big game player. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, she scores pretty important goals at pretty good times for us and has secured trophies with some of her goals as well. So, like, I'm of two minds in this. One, I can understand the panic. You know, we need to win a Champions League for Emma. Like, that's what we want. That's what she wants. It would really be unfortunate if Chelsea was not able to do that. And I understand that sounds like a ton of pressure, but I guarantee you, like, the players have that in their minds as well. They want to wait for themselves because this is a long-term project that most of them has been at Chelsea long enough to know that this is a goal of the club and of their coach. I wouldn't see just like a goal. That sounds too ambitious. It's like on the to-do list, right? This is like something we must do. We must accomplish. And that's tough. So I get being people wanting to be like, okay, got to get another striker in there. Like, yeah, I don't care. Break the bank, get whoever, you know, but the question then becomes who?
I just feel at the moment there's a big decision to be made here, especially during the window, right? Because you've got a bunch of existing players. And I talked about that shape where there's just no striker. If we play with a couple of false nines, we've got Fran Kirby, we've got possibly Kat Macario coming back from injury. Lauren James, you know, it's a bit of a tricky situation because she likes to drift on either side. There are options there, but to do that requires a pretty big shift in how you play, in formation, in positioning, to go from basically a possession-based style of football to a more vertical counter-attacking format. And that's not something that you should just do because players are missing. And Emma has never done that. She's always found ways to plug things up. When Manny Loypots was out for ages. You know, we made do for having a number eight player or maybe a number six that was dropping deep. We brought in players who can do the job. The big question is Emma going to be content with what we have and try and move things around and experiment, which we know that she can, that she has done in the past? Or is it just not worth the risk? And are we going to go and look for somebody in the window? I've heard some really crazy rumours these past couple of days. I think I even heard, was it Ian Wright who said we should be going for Viv? We should be going for Midima, because Arsenal, you know, she's got her end of contract coming up and Arsenal are looking to change things up. But I don't know if I'd want to splash a lot of money on somebody. We know that obviously SEO was a long time. Loypots was out for a long time and we never ever bought anyone to back her up, even though, you know, we begged and begged for Grace Sciorro, or even someone of her ilk. So I'm not entirely convinced Emma would do something like that. It would be great, obviously, if we end up getting a backup striker, but I just feel we have enough at the moment. How much of that can we make work? Like you mentioned, Aggie Beaver-Jones, she's only 20. She's played a handful of performances, but her goal-scoring record is there. Mia Fischel works best when she's working with in tandem with other players. So how do we make that work if she's going to be the focal striker? We no longer have to be in a position where it's like, when we were struggling with creative players in the middle, our ploy was to just a long ball up to Sam Kerr, and that was our only way to be creative, and we really struggled at the back end of last season. But that's no longer the issue. It's almost like the reverse. We have a bunch of creative players now in midfield areas, but we don't necessarily have that central striker. So can we flip the system to make it work for us? Maybe this isn't sort of the crisis everyone is talking about.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because that's kind of where I've settled on. I don't think that we should run out there and try and sign another striker, you know, basically make a panic signing. And yes, I know that there's a chance that a signing like that could be with us long term. You know, there were reports that we were looking at the contract extension from Sam Kerr and that it was close. Don't know how this changes all of that, but I'm going to guess if they were even close to signing something, that a long term injury like this will at some level change the terms of that deal. So we'll see what happens with that negotiation. It just changes things quite a bit. But I think that you go with the players you have. Like, Emma Hayes has been coaching now with Mia Fischel for a while. She had an off season. She's had during the season. She's had some chances. She's shown what she can do. She is a different type of number nine, but there's a reason why they went out and got her. She's good in the air, a la similar to Sam Kerr. But she's also very good with her link-up play and holding the ball up. So it just may be a change in style, whereas you don't have Sam Kerr constantly, you know, making runs in and out and stressing the hell out of the two center backs. Maybe you just change your style a little bit, which could be beneficial to some other players, and say, hey, it's up to y'all now to go and score those goals. Get beyond the striker and score those goals. One thing that'll really help, and I'm really hoping that this is the case, is that Katarina Macario is healthy. If she's healthy, this is okay. Like, we can manage this. Not only does she have the Champions League experience and winning and against a team that everybody thought was going to run away with, it was like the new Lyon in Barcelona, and then Barcelona and then Lyon just beat them, and Macario scored in that and was excellent in their execution of their press and making sure Barcelona couldn't get in their rhythm in midfield. But like, she is such a unique player that she can play as a false nine. She can play as a true nine. She can play as attacking midfielder. If she's in there with Mia Fischel, with Lauren James, with Fran Kirby, with Gulreiten, with all those other players, I still think that is an attack that can win a Champions League.
I think you're right, 100%. Like I said, make that system work. In the past, we've had the issue that with just having no creative presence at all, we've survived. I know we had a Sam Kerr. Obviously, that makes it a bit better, but we survived. We found ways to adapt. And now it's kind of the flip situation, but I think you're right in saying this is better than that situation. Yes, it's no Sam Kerr around, but it does mean that there are a number of different ways we can play. Like you said, there's the fact that we have such an interchangeable attacking midfield is really kind of working for us, because any of these players could play in any of the attacking positions. Now, Emma has always wanted Lauren James to kind of adopt that number 10 role, and slowly over time she's been working on it. So Lauren could play there and Kat could play slightly higher. I also feel like at the same time, Mia could be playing even further up, and both of those could be shadow strikers. So I feel more optimistic. I think you're right. I think we have to emphasize that there's no need to panic or have any panic signings. The big area to look at is actually, I feel, more is our defense. Because as you say, you know, well, Millie Bright's kind of coming back into things, but Khadija Buchanan has looked shaky. And I never felt like Eve Perisse has really recovered from the injury she picked up at the end of last year when we faced Arsenal, I think. So that, for me, is a bigger area of concern. We need to have more depth in defence, and that's probably why we made the signing that we did today, Natalie Bjorn from Everton. For a while, it looked like Real Madrid were going to pick her up, and I think, you know, there was some concern, but obviously staying in the WSL has been important to a lot of players, and this seems sensible.
Yeah, and I want to caveat what I just said now, because about Macario, because that is like, the hope is she's healthy. Don't know yet. We saw her on grass. That's good. Looks like she was at least a part of training with the ball at her feet. Don't know how much, you know, actual contact training she was involved in, because we don't have access to that information, and rightfully so. But we'll see. That is the caveat to all of that, because if she's not, then the attack has to look for other answers, and that still applies. But yes, I agree with you. The defense, to me, that is the thing. Chelsea have, due to, you know, Nuskin and some other players, you know, being in midfield, acting as midfielders, you know, like Lauren James can come inside and play as a midfielder as well. Like you said, that number 10. We've created more XG this season than we normally do, which has been great. We've also conceded a lot more than we normally do, which has been bad. So, and we've seen that in a lot of matches. Oh, was it the Leicester game where it was like, okay, we're going to blow them out. Oh, wait, like, they're scoring goals on us multiple, and that's not good. So like, Chelsea does need to figure that out. And having Millie Bright back will help if she's able to come back. Emma did say 2024. It is 2024. So we'll see how deep into 2024 it goes. But I think this signing signals that she's tried Mielda in that role, you know, next to Jess Carter. She's tried Khadija Buchanan, and for whatever reason, she can't really find the player that she can really trust there. You know, Mielda is a great player, certainly a good player to have as a backup, but it's tough with the lack of pace facing a lot of attacks. It's difficult, especially if they're able to isolate her, which they've been able to do a couple times. Buchanan, it's one of the biggest question marks I have about just how that didn't work out well. She's a very good defender, played at Lyon before coming to Chelsea, had really solid numbers, really solid performances, gets here, and she can't get on the same page as Emma Hayes, or they can't figure out how to work with one another well together. And not saying it's a personal thing, just a fit thing, and it's not working. And so I think having another player come in, maybe they can act as, and I'm not saying this just because she's Swedish, but maybe can act like the Magda to Millie. You know, that was a good partnership because there was a balance and kind of personality, and that may be why Buchanan and Bright don't work well together, and why Buchanan and Carter don't work well together, because Buchanan takes a bit more risk, whereas Bjorn doesn't really seem to take a ton of risk. She's just a really solid defender.
Yeah, and I think if you're a team that's looking to go into Europe and dominate Europe, you need a sense of stability, and you can't have anything that risks that. And I think maybe that's the conversation to be had with Buchanan. There are elements of risk. And same to a sense with Mielda and her ball handling, not ball handling, but her ability to manoeuvre possession. There is an element of giving possession away in dangerous areas or not being positionally aware, and that in the past that's come back to haunt us, and you really don't want that if this is meant to be the year to win the Champions League. So it makes sense that that was a priority area for us, because even though, as you say, losing Sam Kerr is a big thing to deal with, but it's not the end of the conversation, because we have, our attack is star-studded. You know, although there are injuries, we can still make it work, and maybe that's not the same case for the defense. When there are injuries, you can't really make it work. There aren't essentially backup options where you feel strong enough. I mean, Jess Carter could be played in every single position in the back line, but there's only one Jess Carter. And, you know, in the past, we've had players like Ansu Abdalina, and, you know, even like, as I say, Paris are playing around. There's not necessarily been something that makes me feel confident. And we were very lucky that Mielda was able to put in such a good stint last year when we had basically no centre-backs. Yeah. But that's not the ideal option. You want to have a couple of centre-backs you can play at any one time that you feel you believe strongly in. And at the moment, I don't entirely feel that's the case.
Yeah, and I think this signing is meant to, like, it is an acknowledgement of that. It would seem that we bring in another center back. I know she can play right back. She's played there for Sweden a bit, but she's 5'9", and we already have fullbacks. You know, we're good there. We got Parise, we got Ashley Lawrence, we got Neve Charles. I think between the three of those, and Jess Carter can play as outside back as well. We need some defensive solidity on either flank. So, like, I think we're good there. I'm pretty sure this is a center back signing, even though I said that about Nuskin. I thought she was going to be a defensive midfielder, and then she's scoring hat tricks and as an attacking midfielder. I'm like, okay, well, maybe not. But, you know, we will see where she ends up. I'm going to go ahead and say with a lot more confidence she's going to be a center back. And, you know, looking at her profile here on FB Ref is quite nice. And I think the reason why I think I make the Magda comparison is that she's a very capable passer. Short range, long range, medium range, you know, passing to the wings, passing up the center of the pitch. And her defensive stats are best when it's 1v1 take-ons. She wins a ton of her 1v1s and successful take-on. And is successful when players dribble at her, which is quite good on a team like Everton, who hasn't really been like known as like a defensive stalwart. So she's had plenty of opportunity to be dribbled at. And she's winning quite a few of those, even in a team that can't really defensively support her the way that a Chelsea backline and even goalkeeper could. So that, to me, kind of puts her in the category of, like, we want a stable presence back there that if we take a risk higher up the pitch, she's going to be able to bail us out of a couple things. And in possession, she's going to be able to help us build out play, link with the midfielders, or maybe even bypass on occasion. We know Millie Bright loves those big diagonal balls. You know, Bjørn looks like she can play those and other passes as well on the floor or through the air. So this looks like a comfortable signing. We'll see about the long-term prospect, but I think given where we are and the needs for tightening up the defense for this season, this was quite a good get by Chelsea.
Yeah, and I think that, again, this is another step towards solidifying a key part of our attacking, our starting lineup, which maybe in the past we haven't been looking to do. But now I think when we lost Millie, I think it became even more clear that this isn't something that we can do without her. When we lose players in the attacking setup, there is a sense that we can still work around that. But with Millie gone and Magda gone, obviously, it just feels like there was something missing. So I feel that I'm quite glad that we've decided to make that change and strengthen things up. I've also seen her play for Everton in defensive midfield, but I don't know whether that's something we'd want to do. I mean, we have plenty of options in that area as well. But it's good to know that she's a versatile player, because I just feel like a lot of our backline has had to be versatile in different capacities. So it's good to know that she can play in other positions, and then she has that ability to be sort of more adaptive if circumstances call for it. So I think this is a really smart signing for us at the moment.
And yeah, so just to give context on these numbers, and when you look at FB Ref scouting reports, they compile numbers for the past 365 days and compare players across the same kind of portion with their stats and everything, and gives you percentiles of where these players land. It's a bit of a lot of nerdy stuff that I don't 100% understand, but I know that big, long green bars are good things. So that's what I'm really looking at. And when you look at Everton last year, they conceded 36 goals, and this season they have already conceded 19. So we're not talking about the most defensively sound unit in the world in terms of stopping goals, but even at that, Bjørn's stats are still quite good. So the number of dribblers that she has actually tackled, it sits around 75%, which puts her in the 92nd percentile, which is massive. So there aren't too many defenders defending dribblers at a successful percentage than her. Challenges lost as well. Just when should she actually get beaten? That she's in the 91st percentile, which you would assume, of course, but that includes other things, not just dribbles. That's basically challenges overall. She's 18% is the only ones that she's actually losing. Very small number, 91st percentile there. And then I think the big thing, when you think of a really leaky defensive unit, not only do you think of players just, you know, being struggling to defend space, struggling to defend players, but also making a lot of errors. And she has none in the past 365 wow. days. And I don't necessarily believe that's the case for most of our defenders at the moment. So this seems a decent signing.
But I kind of want to also mention Fran Kirby. I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I think the news that we're seeing across timelines is that she is possibly thinking about her contract at the moment with Chelsea and whether there's something she wants to extend with us or whether even her spot might be elsewhere.
You know, it's interesting because that was who did that interview with her? I want to give the credit to the interviewer. Was that, I know it was BBC Sport, I believe. I believe it was Emma Sanders. Is that right? Or am I just,
I think that sounds right to me. I think so.
I believe so. I'll take a look at it while I'm doing this, while I'm talking. Yes, it was Emma Sanders. She pinned it on her page. It's an exclusive interview with England and Chelsea midfielder Fran Kirby. And they discussed a lot of issues. Fran discussed body image issues in sports, of course, dealing with injury setbacks and her Chelsea future, talking about that. And the thing that stood out, first of all, she says a lot of really good and important things. And I want people to, you know, listen to the interview, listen to Fran. She talks a lot about especially the body image portion and abuse based off of that, which is really important, especially given with women athletes across sports. I think it's really, really important conversation. I'm really glad that that's an issue that she brought up. And then it feels weird to transition to that to like, well, what is she going to do for us at Chelsea? But I think the thing that really stood out was it doesn't seem like Chelsea has approached contract extension talks with her yet. And her contract is up at the end of this season. And what the hell are we doing is our question officially from Fran Kirby's Fight Club.
Yeah, I think to quote her, I think she said something like, I haven't spoken to the club or club haven't approached me. And I'm just like, it's, you know, the flags, the warning flags are going off. It just seems like she's, when she's fit, and I know she's maybe gone past that stage of being at peak fitness, but even at 80% or 70%, she's still so good that you can't possibly exclude her from this starting lineup. If she can play, then why not play for us? She's the best at what she does. Why not play for the best team in the WSL? But it seems crazy that we haven't really figured stuff out regarding her contract, because Emma was always so on top of managing her fitness, managing her minutes. It seems strange to me that the club haven't sorted that out, because it's just very unlike the club, very unlike Emma to do something like that. And I'm sure that if you know, if the club had approached her, why would she not say that? Why would she say they haven't spoken to me? So it's bizarre. It really is. And it doesn't make sense. Maybe they're trying to figure out where she fits in a increasingly widening area of the pitch where positions are being vied for. You know, we've got so many players already in that role where a couple of years ago, it was kind of just her and maybe G. You know, Erin was kind of figuring stuff out, and Sophie really played in a very defensive-minded role. So since the gap in which she's been away from Chelsea and maybe not playing as frequently, we've signed so many more players, and I bet right now there must be a lot of confusion about where she slots in, because if she's not playing, then I can imagine any of the other players playing. But if she is in, it means we've got to cut one of those out. And it goes back to that situation with Beth England when we had Sam Kerr and we had a couple of other strikers in there. Beth just didn't fit. There was just no room. And I'm wondering whether it's a similar case here. Are we just going to ice her out like we did with Beth? I mean, that's our perception of it, right? Because we don't have inside information. We don't know what went down between Emma and Beth. We don't know how that sort of figured out. I'd be really disappointed if we did that to Fran, because the connection between her, the team, the manager, the club, it's so true and strong because of her mental health, because of her physical experiences. So if we're just going to give that up like we did with Beth, then I feel slightly ashamed, really, if that was something we did.
Yeah, I want to, you know, there are a couple things I'm thinking. And one of them is extending Fran Kirby's contract could be a matter of like a phone call or a 30-minute meeting, right? Like it could be something that's done really quickly, because like, hey, we know Emma's leaving. Wasn't sure if you wanted to stay with the club or not, you know, or if you wanted to assess your own options. But if you want to stay with us, we'd be happy to have you. You're very important to us, to the community, to our team. Like, here's the contract. Fair money, here you go. Like, are you ready? And that could be signed. So I don't want to say that it's like not happening or positioned it as not. It's just surprising that they haven't had these conversations. I will say, as a follower of Chelsea on both the men's and women's side, this is very familiar to how Chelsea operates on the men's side. When they have players that are coming out of contract, they just won't say anything. And then suddenly either the contract happens or it doesn't. But this going this late doesn't necessarily mean they've already made a decision. So I want to highlight that as well. As far as like the squad, yeah, we have quite a few number 10s, especially if, you know, Macario is healthy and if Lauren James, ultimately, that's where she wants to play and develops in that role, then maybe that's something that where that becomes a space that Fran, you know, becomes like, I won't even say superfluous because that's just ridiculous to say about a player so talented and so good. But she's also quite versatile. You can put her on the right wing. You can put her even on the left if you really wanted to. Like, I think she can play multiple roles, and I wouldn't necessarily say that there's not really a way to get her the minutes. I mean, we know the injury history as well, and I still think that there's a spot for Fran Kirby on this team, and there should always be, in my opinion, for a number of reasons. One, her talent and how good she is, but two, just what she means to the team, the locker room, the players around her as well. So I'm hoping that this gets done because I cannot and don't want to envision a Chelsea without Fran Kirby and imagine a Chelsea without Emma Hayes and Fran Kirby. That would be a lot to deal with in one off season.
Also, like, what does that mean for us if Fran is no longer playing for Chelsea? What do we have to disband? We might have to just move to the next club and just be like, yep, we don't talk about Chelsea anymore, we're talking about insert club name.
Don't even say a club name, because it just about any club she'd go to would hurt my heart so bad.
And you know, if she decides, like, touch wood, not say this will happen, you know, if she does decide she doesn't play football anymore, we will just shift and we will stop talking about football. We will start talking about Fran's dogs and her life and what she posts on Instagram, because this podcast is really nothing without her. This is why we started this podcast, and I'm sort of in the same camp. There's definitely a spot for her in this team. It's just about making it work, and I hope we don't keep it too late, because the waiting is the worst part of it, just for us as well as fans, as people who, you know, are interested in the club and who write and watch about the club. The waiting is the worst part for sure, so fingers crossed before the end of the season we see some good news about that contract. You know, obviously I said earlier I'd be ashamed if we hadn't, but obviously I don't know, we can only speculate, so let's hope it goes the right way.
Yeah, we definitely need the Fran Kirby contract extension done and announced. And we also need the Sam Kerr contract extension done and announced, because I got to tell you, I don't know how this injury impacts those discussions, but her fiance traveling from New York to West Ham to join a relegation battle. And I know West Ham's been signing a bunch of players, so I don't expect them to stay bottom of the table very long, but like, that's also a contract that's up, I believe, in 2025. So it's not like it's a one-year deal. This is a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. And she came across the ocean to live in London. You have to get it done for multiple reasons.
I mean,
you have to get it done.
The stars are aligning. Like, she's all the way to East London from Australia. That's a whole day of traveling. You don't do that just for, you know, just for fun. I mean, that Sam Kerr does for fun. She likes to travel all sorts of places and come back and play the next day. But, you know, this seems like there's an element of permanence to it. I'm pretty sure they've been looking to find a place to live. And obviously they're together at the moment, engaged, to be married. It just feels like it's meant to be. And I'm in the same camp. I really hope this doesn't affect a contract in any single way, because we still need her and we still want her. And London will be far bluer without her than it is with her. So, yeah.
Yeah. So on that note, I think that we can be hopeful of the Sam Kerr contract. It would be really, really unfortunate for Sam Kerr and her career at Chelsea, and also her personal life if it doesn't get done. But also Fran Kirby as well. Excited to see the new signing. Excited to see what she can do to solidify the defense. Seems like a very smart signing by Chelsea. Looks like they looked at a lot of data to find a player. You wouldn't necessarily think that a center back in a team that leaks as many goals as Everton is the one that like could maybe be a solution to your defense, but I think they did a good job in figuring this out. We'll see how she works in Emma's system and how quickly she can pick it up, all of that. So we will see. We will be back to talk about it all. But before we go, Mariam, do you have any final things to say about Chelsea so far this winter break?
I want to put it out there because often we use this podcast to refer to black magic. I want to call out the other type of magic, the good kind, and put some good energy out there because our club is not anything really without people like Frank Kirby and Sam Kerr. And I really hope that they are part of the conversation going into 2024. And I need Millie Bright as well, and Khadija Buchanan and all the other injured players. But yeah, I'm excited about what's to come. I was upset for a while and maybe upset for the first part of this pod, but I feel more optimistic now that I've got to had the chance to speak about it. So yeah, let's do this. Let's break Arsenal hearts again.
Yeah, I am. I mean, remember how we went into the winter break, right? Mm-hmm. We had that unfortunate loss versus Arsenal. They thought that they were getting there. Maybe they'd be top of the table. And then they went and they lose a game and they look ridiculous. And now we have that 3-point cushion at the top of the table again. And we're getting some players back from health. We also lost a very big one. But hey, I still think that there's still the ability to win multiple trophies this season. Which trophies we will see. But Chelsea made some smart moves, and we're going to hope for health for all the players that are returning and recovering, hope for contract extensions. It's a weird place to be in right now, where we're hoping for a lot of things to go right after some things went pretty wrong. But I feel like we're in a decent place. Maybe. We'll see when games start, which is, you know what, which I'm actually really sad. I mean, the ACL injury, yes, it's the worst. And it's one of those really bad injuries, of course, as we all know. But like the first game back was an FA Cup match against West Ham. It was going to be perfect. It was going to be perhaps Christie's debut. Don't know about her health, her injury status. She had some knee issues when she was here, but that was a couple months ago. But it could have been. It could have been. And now it won't be, at least from Sam Kerr's side. So we'll see. But anyway, we'll be back to review that match. And we have United a week after that. Things get really, truly underway back in the Champions League competition after that as well. So yeah, it's going to start soon. I miss watching the team. I miss seeing them on the pitch.
It's been too long. I thought the winter break would be good, but actually I've just spent the entire time whining about how much I don't get to watch Chelsea women play. So I can't complain. Well, I won't be complaining soon.
Yeah, and I've watched a lot of teams that I somewhat care about that have done poorly, and I'm like, you know what? I forgot that football could feel good, so I really need Chelsea to come back and show me, like, oh, a good comfortable 3-0, 4-0 win. My team can score goals. I would love to see that. Cough, cough, Chelsea, man.
Is that your prediction then? 3-0, 4-0, West Ham?
Absolutely not.
You tried to get out of it, and then you shot yourself in the foot by saying that.
I sure did. You know what? I'm going to go with it anyway. I know they signed a bunch of players, but it's going to take them a while to put them together, and I don't even know if they're all going to be able to be on the pitch. So, you know what? I'm still, yes. You know what? I'm going for it. 4-0. Don't care.
4-0.
Yeah, 4-0. I think Mia Fish is going to score a break. Like, let's go. Yeah, I want to start 2024 positive. 4-0.
Let's do it.